So good to see each one of you here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We have those who are visiting with us. We are grateful that you've taken the time to be with us. I have a lot of young people with us. That's good also this morning. And we have those who will be leaving us for a few months. So we want to have them have a safe trip. But good to be with you this morning. I want to begin this morning because we live in a world that's, to me, awfully confusing. Things are not as simple as they were as I was growing up, and it appears to be constantly getting worse. So that's how this lesson came about. I begin with this. If we choose to submit to the teachings of Christ, we are no longer the victims of bad choices, but rather victors. Think about that for a moment. Are a lot of people making bad choices today? And oftentimes those bad choices affect all of us, does it not? But we can make the right choice. And I want us to kind of take a step back this morning and consider that as a faithful child of God, victory is ours. Because if you turn on the news, that's depressing. I talked to my relatives in Chicago, that's depressing. Not them, but what's going on over there. So again, we have to not be overcome, get overwhelmed, get depressed, make bad choices. We need to remind ourselves that we can be victorious. That is found in one of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians 2:14. The New King James Version in 2 Corinthians 2:14 states, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Now, did you catch that? Who always leads us to triumph in Christ. Not sometimes, not most times, but always. We're always led to triumph in Christ. Now, how is that possible? You look at that passage and you say, well, wait, now that doesn't make sense to me. Didn't Paul have to run for his life? Yes, he did. But he still triumphed in Christ. Wait a minute. Doesn't make sense to me. Didn't Stephen lose his life? Yes, he did. But did he win? He triumphed in Christ. And we can go to all a bunch of different illustrations. The point is, if we make the choice to submit to the teachings of Christ, ultimately, we will always win. Now, let's look at some specifics as we look at this morning. For instance, we win because we have a relationship with God through Christ. We are able to have this relationship with God, and it is through Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. The circumstances around us does not change this fact if we follow God's will. In John, chapter 14, and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." How do we get to the Father? Through Christ. We always triumph where? In Christ. All right, let's add another passage. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. There we have recorded, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." You know who he's making intercession for? You and I, right? So we have a relationship with the Father through Christ who makes intercession for us. Should that give us some comfort? Absolutely so. Again, victory that's in Christ. Let's go to a third passage. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have recorded for us here, as Paul writes to those at Corinth, and we have recorded in verses 18 through 20 of this chapter, Paul stating this, "Now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." Now I want to stop here. Remember, our victory is through whom? It's through Christ. Question, looking at this passage, could we have been reconciled without Christ? No. So again, our victory is through Christ. Let's go on and read that as it goes on. "And given us the ministry of reconciliation," verse 19. "That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled unto God. So again, as we talk about that, victory is always ours. If we obey the gospel, and by the way, how do you obey the gospel? I'm glad you asked. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have what? Have put on Christ. When do I put on Christ? When I'm baptized into Christ as I repent of my sins. Now, taking these passages together, do we have victory because we have a relationship with God? And that relationship with God is through whom? Jesus Christ, as we submit to him. And no matter what the circumstances that you and I may face, no one can take us away from that relationship unless we walk away from it. Now, if we don't walk away from that relationship, ultimately we have victory because we're in Christ. And by being in Christ, we have a relationship with the Father. But let's go on, because we're going to tie this together with some other things. You say, yeah, I understand that, Chuck, but that really don't hit home yet. Well, it will before the lesson's over. We have victory because we are able to conquer the devil's schemes. The devil wants you. I do believe in a devil. He's recorded for us in the scriptures. He wants your soul. And he'll do whatever it takes to try to get your soul. But I can have full confidence, 100% confidence, that I can be victorious over him in Christ, doing it the way Christ has said. In other words, when I'm baptized, wouldn't it be nice that after you were baptized, when you came up out of the water and gave baptism, everything went well? Wouldn't that be nice? Don't work like that. Wouldn't it be nice when you came up out of that watery grave of baptism, that temptation was no longer? But it don't work like that. In fact, perhaps, and may get a little worse. May get a little worse because now the devil's upset that now you're not serving him, you're serving Christ. But I can have victory over him. Now there's a way to do it. I can't do it on my own. And 1 Peter chapter 5. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. It states, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now here's the problem. I want to stop here. That's our first problem. We're not sober and vigilant. We don't take it seriously. Is that a possibility? And when we don't take the devil seriously, who do you think wins? The devil does. Be sober, be vigilant. That's what it tells me here. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seek whom he may devour. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to the zoo, I like two areas. I like the monkeys, and I like the lions and leopards and those are the two big areas I like. And I'm very brave when I go look at the lions. You know why? They're far enough away from me. That's what I told my wife. I'll never go to Africa with her. Because when you go look at the lions out there, they can get close to you. Why does he use a lion? It's not saying the devil is a lion, but he's like a roaring lion. Now, I don't know much about animals, but if they're roaring, that might be telling me they're hungry. And I look like a pretty good meal to them, so I surely don't want that to be the case. Again, we need to take seriously. He goes on to state, verse 9, here's the key. Resist him steadfast, what? In the faith, right? Where does faith come from? God's word, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But notice, there's something I have to do. I have to resist. Oh, and then it goes on to state, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren. Don't think you're the only one that gets tempted. Temptations come to all of us in many different forms, do they not? As we go along on those lines that we're able to conquer Satan, let's go to James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, similar thing. Therefore, submit to God. How do we submit to God? By the faith, right? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's where sometimes my brethren get overconfident. Watch out when you say, I can handle it. Because when you say you can handle it, you're probably putting yourself in a circumstance that eventually you won't handle. So we have to resist the devil. We have to stay away from circumstances that might lead us into worse circumstances. God tells us this. But you don't look at it as a battle. But it is a battle. I'm working on a lesson talking about the gospel armor. We had a home study on that, but I'm working on a lesson on that. But there's things I have to do. Why? I'm in the battle for my life. Now, the point is, and here's the point I like, I can always win. Always win. You know what scares me about our society? We don't pursue this idea of winning or losing. We just get participation certificates. You're not going to get to heaven by a participation certificate. You're going to get to heaven by winning. And by winning through Christ. But let's go on. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. As I told you before, and my lesson's not focused to sin itself completely, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, what I've noticed over my 40-some-odd years of preaching, the temptations I have today are quite a bit different than the temptations I had when I was in my 20s. Now, those of you in your 20s don't understand someone who's in his 60s going in their 70s. But those 20s temptations, no longer. But now there's a whole new group of temptations that I have to face today. What I'm trying to tell you, temptation is never gone till you breathe your last breath. Till you breathe your last breath. And therefore, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Notice something here. Didn't say God's going to take away the temptation. He said he's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able. So if you've got a strong temptation, you know what that's telling you? God's going to give you a way out. But what happens? We don't look for the way out. You know what? We look for an excuse. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself. You just beat your wife and you couldn't help yourself? What is the matter with you? How is your brain clicking? I couldn't help myself. You just cheated on the ACT test. Why, did someone put a gun to your head? You just couldn't help yourself? You see, that don't work. Now he said, how does God give a way of excuse? Well, for the ACT, prepare. Prepare for it. For husbands who are treating their wives bad, learn from God's word how you're supposed to treat your wife. And then work on it. And you can do that with any other temptation. You see what I'm saying? God's going to give you a way of escape, so don't say, I couldn't help myself. Because that passage states, you can. We can always have victory through Christ. But let's go on. In Romans chapter 6, as we talk about sin, and we're only touching on the garment this morning, but we have recorded in verses 12 through 18. And really, when you talk about sin, sin means to miss the mark. That's what it means. If you go look up the Greek word, it means to miss the mark. And basically, it means to miss God's mark. God's mark is the Scriptures, right? When I sin, I've missed that mark. For instance, let me give you an illustration, Old Testament. As you look at the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were to take the land of Canaan, they missed the mark. They sinned. God didn't tell them to see whether or not they could take it because he already told them he's going to give them the land. But they sinned because they disobeyed God. They said, we can't go forward. And therefore, because of their hardness of heart, they've wound up being in the wilderness for almost 40 years. They missed the mark. The mark was, God said this, remember the ark. The ark was supposed to be transported by the priests on their shoulders. They put the ark on an ox cart. They missed the mark, did they not? The ark's getting ready to fall off the ox cart. As it tried to save it, he struck dead. Not God's fault. They missed the mark. And I can go to a number of other illustrations. The trouble is, God sets the standards. He sets the mark. He defines what sin is. Now remember, society doesn't define sin. Remember Isaiah 5:20? They call evil good and good evil. That's what's happened today, is it not? What we know biblically is good, our society calls evil. And what the Bible calls evil, our society is twisted and calls it good, do they not? They've missed God's mark. Now, we're talking about sin. Now let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, your members of instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall have no more dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves to whom you obey, whether it be sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was doctrine which you were delivered and have been set free from sins to be slaves of righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. Right? Not your own righteousness, God's righteousness. That's in the gospel. Romans 1:17. So how do I overcome sin? How do I have this victory over the devil? I follow this standard. Why do you think it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil company corrupts good morals? Because it does. Does it not? If you continue to put yourself, and this is not just for young people. That passage is not to 17-year-olds only. That passage includes those of us that are much older in years. Who you choose to associate with, as my mom would say in her wise wisdom, birds of a feather flock together. So again, we have to be careful. The point is, I can always have victory over the devil. I'm always going to have temptations. But I can always have victory over the devil by going to the Word. So we talked about, number one, our relationship with God through Christ. Number two, sin and how I can win over it, always. Now let's see if we hit us on this one. I can always have victory to face the difficulties of life. That may not be sin. That just might be life itself. Again, wouldn't it be nice from a human standpoint, that if you obeyed the gospel, you'd have no more difficulties, no more financial adversities, no more health problems, and I could just run the gamut, that everything would go just right. But then people would become Christians, not for the blood of Christ, but what? They want difficulties. And that's not what we're here for. In fact, when I think of difficulties, I don't know what book you think of, but I think of the book of Job. You talk about difficulties. Job had difficulties. Let's go to Job. In the book of Job, and those of us who have lived any amount of time know this is true, that there is no such a thing as a Cinderella story. And what I mean by that, It's not happily ever after. Now, I am happily ever after in my relationship with God, but things might not go happily for me on this earth. In fact, Job puts it this way, and Job was a righteous individual. But it states in chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, as I said, we just talked about sin. Some of the trouble we make for ourselves because we get caught up in sin. But some of the trouble we didn't make for ourselves. And we still have to face it, do we not? So, do I still win? Yes. If I keep my mind focused properly, I still win, even though I have physical troubles. When we read in the New Testament, do we read Christians who are perhaps close to poverty, if not in poverty? But they won, right? Do we have Christians who had illnesses? Did Paul have an illness? Did Timothy have an illness? Perhaps were there others who had illnesses? Did they win? Yeah. You see, sometimes people get a strange concept of Christianity. That they became a Christian and, God forbid, 2 years down the road, they get cancer and they're scratching their head. How did I get cancer? I became a Christian. Well, being a Christian doesn't eliminate you from getting cancer. I wished it did, but it doesn't. You might have some type of gene. I don't know how all the ways people get cancer. You know, it always astounded me when I hear people who have lung cancer who've never smoked in their lives. Have you known of people like that? That can happen. About financial adversity. Things can go just right, and all of a sudden, everything falls apart financially. Can that happen, but to no fault of your own? How about family difficulties? Which family here in this audience, and I'm talking about family going to your extended family, that there are not some problems? Now, don't come and tell me what they are when you leave. I'm not saying that. But I'm just asking you, which family do you know of that doesn't have problems somewhere down the line in their family lineage? So that means you lose? No. That means you can have the victory to overcome it as Paul did. Remember, he prayed for the thorn in his flesh? That was an if physical illness, was it not? God ever take it away from him? No. But you know what Paul said? When I am weak, what? Then I am strong. But let's look at some more. Here's how we overcome these adversities that we have no control over. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Now, let me say, if one becomes a child of God, they're going to make better choices, which are going to eliminate some problems. But that's not going to eliminate all problems. Because, see, some problems we create ourselves by making bad choices. But you become a Christian, you start making better choices. So you eliminate some of those problems. But there's problems that we make all the right choices and the problem's still there. How do we overcome that? In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 and 25, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. How to overcome problems? Be founded upon the rock. Look at the apostles when they saw their Lord being crucified. You think they had problems? But we know the rest of the story, don't we? They stayed focused to him. So, I'm not saying we glorify problems. In fact, if you enjoy having problems, let me tell you something. There's something wrong with you. No one enjoys having problems, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whether it be family, whether it be job. Those are not fun times, and those are not easy times. But understand, if I understand the scriptures correctly, even under those circumstances, we have victory if we stay focused and follow the Lord. I'll give you a couple more illustrations. And Psalm 62. Let's go to Psalm 62. This is one of my favorite psalms that I'll mention to people oftentimes. Psalm 62. By the way, I'm doing a study on Psalms. So many lessons in Psalms and Proverbs. There really are. In Psalm 62, we have recorded here verses 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And as I was pondering that passage for this study, an example came to me. So hold this, remember. If not hold it, remember. Who's our refuge? God. When difficulties arise, correct? Okay, turn with me back further to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. And when you get to 1 Samuel, chapter 30, I want us to, we're not going to read all these verses, but you look at verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And basically what happens here is David and his men went out to war. And while he was gone and his men were gone, the Amalekites came to Ziklag and took their families. Took David's families, took the families of the men, and burnt down Ziklag. Now, let's stop and think about this. David is serving who? He's serving God. Right? Now, let's look at this a little bit closer. Look at verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him. Now I want to stop here. Don't read further. Don't read further. Who are the people with him? His warriors. Right? They had gone out to battle. These are warriors. These are men who were accustomed to war. Okay. Came to him and it says, the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. I want to stop there. If you've ever lived any length of time, you've done that before. You've had an overwhelming experience where you've cried yourself out. Right? Now I want to add this to it. These are grown men who are warriors who are bawling like babies. Are they not? They're overwhelmed. And then after they start crying, David's two wives were taken. And verse 6, now David was greatly distressed and the people spoke of stoning him. So not only has he lost his family, now the men are revolting against David. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, and any man for his son and daughters. Look at this last phrase I have highlighted in my Bible, this last little part of this phrase. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. There's the solution. Whatever the circumstance, when you are overwhelmed to where you can cry no more, men or women, get your strength from God. Get your strength from God. Easier said than done. But is it true? Now you tie that with one more passage. One more passage. Psalms 119, verse 28. Psalms 119. God doesn't leave us flounder when times get rough. He gives us the strength. Look at verse 28. You see how Psalms 119, 28 applies with what we've just studied. My soul melts from heaviness. Did their souls melt from heaviness? Yeah. Strengthen thou me according to your word. You know what happens, and Satan knows this. When Satan puts a stumbling block in front of us, and it doesn't have to be sin, and we're overwhelmed, we've got to be careful not to blame God. Do people do that sometimes? David strengthened. And by the way, the rest of David's story, they went and got their families back. So that was the end of that story. But the point is this. I don't like bad things happening in my life. I get extremely upset if bad things happen because I made bad choices. Because see, but there's bad things that happen that I made no choice in it. God doesn't leave me flounder. What did he say? You always have victory. Always leads us to victory. Do we believe that? Then we've got to do it his way. And then finally, we always have lead to victory because we conquer death. Do you realize how many people are afraid of death? Do you know there are, now my kids and my wife accuse me, I talk about death too much, and maybe they're correct. But I can honestly tell you I'm not afraid of death. In fact, my wife's making fun of me because I'm having a birthday coming up, and I'm hoping I die before my birthday because that means I'll always be a year younger than her. But if I live, I get to be with her and my grandkids. So there's a lot. But the point is it not so a lot of people are fearful of death? Now, let's understand me. I don't want to get cancer that takes my life away from cancer. I'm not looking forward to that. But the only thing, and again, I'm not making light of cancer or any other disease, but whatever disease you might contract or I might contract cannot take away my life. I'm talking about my spiritual life. Do you believe that? So then who has victory? We do. Now, I'm not saying you look forward to physical things going bad. We don't look forward to that. Those of you who are dealing with different illnesses, you don't look forward. You know, I'm a diabetic, but some of it by choice, some of it not by choice. I don't say, oh, I'm so happy I get to take a shot this morning. No. But I'm grateful because God has well blessed me. And others in this room, and this congregation has much more difficult diabetes. But even if diabetes or cancer or an accident takes away my physical life, I still win. I still have victory. Don't you believe that's what our brethren thought in the first century? Otherwise, how could they do it? They would have quit right after Acts chapter 7. You'd have no more Christianity. But they knew they won. Because we have victory in Christ over death. And 1 John chapter 5. A lot of unrest going on in this world, but it doesn't take away from my victory in Christ. I need to remind myself that every time I turn on that dumb news. I need to learn just not even to turn on the news. But I like watching news, and that's the problem. Because they don't talk about the positive stories. They talk about the negative. I talk to my relatives in Chicago, and they talk about streets that people would love to walk down, that I walk down many times. You don't even walk down those streets anymore because buildings are boarded up. And evil has overtaken the good. Do you realize that in the Chicagoland area, there's over 30 shootings every week? And I've done since 30 deaths. There's over 30 shootings every single week. It's a war zone. But even my Christian brethren, my brothers who are in Christ in Chicago, can have victory. knowing that who they are and where they're going. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony, verse that has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. Pretty simple. You want victory? Got to have the Son. It all started out with that. Give members seconds. Our victory is through Christ. So if you're here this morning and you don't have Christ, you don't have victory. Victory's in Christ. Now, we had to add something to this, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5. And being made perfect, he, Christ, became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Isn't that wonderful? Eternal salvation to all them that obey him. And we're going to close with this passage. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, don't forget we have victory. Don't get overcome and forget that we win. You know, especially those of us who are getting older. Let me ask you this. As you keep on getting older, does new pains keep on coming up? Is that the way it's going to be? Because now I'm getting a new pain. I tell people I've never had back problems in my life. Bragging about it a month ago. Never. Now all of a sudden, I get up in the mornings and I feel like, what's happened to my back? I don't want people to feel sorry. That's just, I guess, what happens as your body gets older. You know, I'm kind of like, remember those wind-up toys? When I get up in the morning, I'm ready to go. By 4 in the afternoon, my batteries are pretty low. And if I didn't get a little short nap in between that time, my batteries are just about out. Guess what? That's life on this earth. But what do I look forward to? Well, here's what I look forward to. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see how that goes back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2? Our victory is through who? Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That I can enjoy life on this earth, that I can handle the trials that come my way, that I can hopefully live in such a way that I don't add more trials on my life. And when all is said and done, I get to go home to heaven. Do you know depression and anxiety is overtaking this society? Don't let it overtake you as a child of God. Follow Christ. Focus to God. Depend on Him. And take it one day at a time. If you're here today and not a child of God, you have an opportunity to become His child, repenting of your sins and being baptized. And like I say, it's not always going to be easy, but it'll get you through. You win. I want to close with the dumb illustration one coach for my son when he was in high school. My son's team lost miserably. They looked pitiful. This is football. And that coach, I wanted to smack him. He goes to the guys. He said, well, didn't we have fun? No! How can you have fun when you're humiliated that way? But as a Christian, I have fun because I win. How about you as we stand and as we sing? Yeah.